Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Colin Carter Podcast, live here in studio in Salt Lake City, bringing you the best information on parenting, technology, raising your children in this insane world they're growing up. And thank you so much for tuning in. Oh my gosh, it is Friday, and I'm so happy that it's Friday. My gosh, we don't care. Every day is Friday. Now the kids are in school, we actually can know. We actually have like a time frame of like what actually days are. I'm so excited about my guest today here on Friday. We've got a great conversation. I've been wanting to interview this guy for a while. He and I are in the same arena, going out there and fighting for your families and fighting for kids. But this guy's been doing it a lot longer and has so much more knowledge and information to share. He's a hero of mine, and he will be of yours when you're done listening to this. But let's kick this off. It is Friday. I don't know, Friday something, August something. Some interesting stuff in the news today. So I opened my app today to the news and saw the very first article said this: 3 months after accepting the TikTok CEO job, the CEO of TikTok resigns. He lasted 100, where's my studio audience clapping? He lasted 100 days. Woohoo, way to go, guy. 100 days, there's the studio audience. And the funniest headline, I went through all the headlines, it said that Kevin Mayer, CEO of TikTok, resigns after 95 days, says, "I had no idea what this was all about." And I'm like, wow, maybe you should have looked at the app first to realize that it's a flaming pile of poop. So they're looking for a new CEO of TikTok. I don't know if Satan is busy, but you know, maybe we can find someone else. Hitler's dead, but that's a short list. We're going to go into the next thing here. The next article that came up, which cracked me up and made me laugh and cry. This was just a couple miles from my house. Man accused of soliciting teen girls near Silver Lake, which is not that far from my house. It said this, let's see here. This guy was going up by the lake. He saw two girls, 13 and 15, taking their school photos, offered them to go back into the woods, asked if they would take off their tops in exchange for marijuana. What is happening? It is like free roam. I mean, creeps have been around forever, but it feels like that they've all been empowered and they're all out everywhere now. So be safe. Talk to your kids about the stranger danger stuff. It is also Friday and the day. I'm so pumped because not only do I have an awesome guest, but today is the day that the new Bill and Ted's comes out. So for my 80s and 90s kids, Bill and Ted's version 2. I'm taking my daughter to go see it. We're going to watch the first one after school today, then go see it. So she has a little clue what's going on. So welcome to the show today. Thank you so much for your emails and for your comments and for your questions. I'm thinking about doing just a couple podcasts a month where I'm just answering questions that I get, just a big long Q&A. A lot of questions, especially with parents freaked out with their kids all going back to school online. And what do we do to protect the internet coming to the house? A lot of families down in Vegas are freaking out because every kid in Vegas just got a school issued laptop with no filters. And they're doing 100% online while parents are at school work. So many issues that are going to happen there. So we're here about protecting kids. And there's no one better than doing this than my guest. His name is Chris McKenna. He's up in Grand Rapids. Chris is the founder of Protect Young Eyes. If that is something you are not following, make sure you go bookmark protectyoungeyes.com. Go follow their Facebook page. Chris and their team every other day are posting really, really good stuff. Actually really well thought out, not just me freaking out about stuff, but they actually go into the research, dig into the information, you know, go through the apps that are coming out, go through the games, find the little things in the blind spots to really help parents out. So make sure you go check out protectyoungeyes.com. He's a dad of four kids. He's a speaker. He's a fighter in this arena. Joining me from Grand Rapids is Chris McKenna. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, Colin, man, my pleasure. I would love to wake up every day and have an intro like that just to pump me up.
Ladies and gentlemen, who just woke up, dad, you know, coming from an amazing sleep of Hamilton songs, keeping them up all night. I'll hype you up, man. I'll be your hype man. I love everything you guys do. Real quick, for the people who don't know Protect Young Eyes or who don't know you, would you just kind of intro how this all started? What were you doing? How'd you get into the space and why did you start Protect Young Eyes? And let's go from there.
Yeah, sure. So I've had a pretty fun professional path. Strangely, I started off as a CPA, right? Which a lot of people think is pretty boring, but I really enjoyed that gig. But I was called into student ministry, Colin. And so I left corporate America and in 2009 jumped into full-time middle school ministry. I love middle school, like junior high.
Yeah, yeah.
That is my sweet spot. And it was during that time that kids are starting to ask a lot of questions about this new app called Instagram. But you can imagine a world where Instagram was new, right?
And oh, yeah.
Parents are starting to ask me questions. And so it really just started off as this closed Facebook group back in, let's say, 2014 or so. And I saw this gap between what parents needed to know and what questions kids were asking, a lot of the things that still exist today. And without going into a ton of detail, just evolved then out of a news story that then brought a lot of attention, and that led to the website getting started and requests for speaking. But I've had this heart. I don't know why, but God has given me an insane amount of energy when it comes to protecting families. And I know that you have this too, right? You wake up every day and it's like, how can we better? And you said it in the beginning. It's not a bubble wrap approach, not a fear-based approach, but how do we protect and prepare our kids for the realities of this world? And there's nothing on earth that is shaping the hearts, minds, attitudes, emotions, relationships, faith of our kids today, like their technology. Mm-hmm. And so that consulting background of mine said, dude, you got to jump into this. You got to help span this gap. And that's what we aim to do at Protect Young Eyes. We aim to span the gap between intentional, awesome parents and a digital environment that does not care about the safety and protection of our children. Yeah. It does not. And you and I stand in that gap to just point towards ways in which we can better do that. Don't go here, go there, and do our very best. And so that's what we love doing. And there's a little more to that story in terms of some early exposures that I had to some really rough stuff as a kid. That when it comes to the world of pornography and other things, that I look at the things that I was exposed to and what massive impacts it had on my life. And now I multiply each of those exposures by the 100-time multiplier that the internet has created for kids today. And I weep for what children have to deal with. And so, yes, it is harder to be a kid today. It's harder being a parent. And so we want to do whatever we can to help amazing, intentional parents make awesome choices for just unbelievable kids so that they can thrive, not just survive, but they can thrive and navigate technology in a better, healthier, more awesome way. So
I love it. I love it. And I love your passion. And if you follow Chris, the stuff they post, and if you hear what he, anytime you can jump in and hear him speak, like you could tell, I don't know what you're running on, but it's the same thing I have to run on too when you're speaking all day in middle schools and assemblies of parent nights and people are like, how do you do this? It's like, I don't know. I just really care about these kids, like some power from above or maybe from, I don't know, Diet Dr. Pepper, can get us through the day. But, let me ask you this. I feel like that the pendulum swung so far left with all this tech coming out like crazy. It became the Wild West. And, I feel that, that technology companies saw an opportunity. They saw parents so stressed out and getting so sucked into this grind culture we have where, like, I've said that the sign of affluence now, especially in the States, is exhaustion for parents. Like, you have to have a side hustle and a third side hustle. Like, if you're not constantly doing stuff, working hard, burning the candle from both ends, like you feel like you're not doing enough. And I feel like that as a dad sometimes too. So I think what happens is tech companies saw this opportunity, but they're like, wait a second. Parents are so sucked into this. They're stressed out. We've got a media that is constantly making people mad and freaking them out and scaring them to death. And then we have 150 million kids that are in our country that are just kind of like getting thrown under the bus that no one's really paying attention to. What an opportunity to seize for tech companies who really, care more about profits than anything, to come in and start throwing stuff, hooking kids to this stuff, to the point where it got so crazy that an article came out a year and a half ago that said parents, their top five biggest fears now for their kids. When you and I were growing up, it was sex, drugs, rock and roll. Number one for parents' fear is my kids' technology. So we have parents now who are so afraid of the technology that's out there that they almost put their fingers in their ear and say, la, 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 and just pretend nothing's happening. And then we have parents who are like us, who are like really, really dialed in, who get it, who are like, okay, we've got to stay on top of this stuff. How do we close that gap? How do we get the 80, 75, 65, whatever percent of parents who have their fingers in their ear and want to, you know, give the excuse like, this isn't going to happen to my kid and my kid's fine. I trust my kid. You know, they're not going to see this stuff, or I monitor them. And so they're going to be fine, which we know those are all false, you know, feelings of make us feel better. How do we narrow that gap to get more parents to wake up to, like you said, the stuff that keeps us up at night, what's happened to our kids?
Well, there are only so many, you know, and although we do what we can, there are only so many Collins and Chris's and other amazing, you know, organizations out there that can do this at the grassroots level. Colin, and this is where, you know, some people disagree with me on this, but I happen to live in the camp that technology not only embraced this opportunity, that there's a lot of really complex issues there that are accurate that you spoke about there, but you put all of that then in an industry that has zero accountability attached to it, right? Yeah. So technology, from a regulatory perspective, technology lives in a regulatory space that no other industry lives in. And we do this constantly, where we allow certain innovations and technologies to innovate and to have the space to grow. That's one of many things that is amazing about living where we do.
Yeah.
But what we have today are 20 to 25 year old pieces of legislation that no longer adequately address the risks that exist today. We could not have conceived the type of technologies that exist today when in 1996 we passed the Telecommunications Decency Act, Section 230, which gives all big tech this golden ticket of immunity from all liability from the content that is within their spaces.
Wow.
So this is the problem that, and it always gets very tense when you start to go down the path of bigger government and more regulation, all that. That's not what I'm trying to say here. I'm just saying, listen, why not treat big tech like we treat every other industry on earth?
Yeah.
And that is by looking out for the safety and the protection and the well-being of the human beings that are consuming these products.
Yeah.
And we have to get to a spot where that starts. Yes, we need a blanket of parent education. Like, I love the approach that New Zealand, of all places, not only would I love to go there someday, but recently, New Zealand at the government level, I know you've seen these too, put out a series of unbelievably engaging and thought-provoking videos about sexting, pornography, all these videos, that it was the government who decided, you know what, top down, yes, we need all the organic stuff going on and families along, you know, socially distant sidelines at sport events and all these things, talking about these issues and attending our parent presentations and all that kind of amazing stuff. But we need bigger institutions recognizing that we have bigger problems that need to be tackled also from the top down, so that in the middle, we get to the spot where kids are protected. And so that two-pronged approach is what needed. And what's happening right now is the burden for fixing these problems is all being placed at the parent and the grassroots level.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about, I mean, the news that I just saw from the New York Times last week was that Apple, since the pandemic, Apple has grown from a $1 trillion market worth company to a $2 trillion. You saw the same article.
In like 4 months, it took them 35 years to get to a trillion and 4 months to get to 2 trillion.
Right,
unbelievable.
Right. I mean, you talk about the perfect example about how our behaviors in like a moment of desperation, this desperate time of the pandemic and relying more and more on our technology, whereas the largest market cap organization on earth that is bigger than the GDP of most countries on earth. Dude, there is not enough blog posts that you and I write to change the behavior of Apple. It's just never going to happen.
So the companies are too big and there's too much money into it. And I agree. As sad as it is, I love our nation, especially. I love the country. I love freedom. I love all the stuff. Yay, capitalism. Yay, everything. But when you get this large, where there's that much money on the line and that much money behind corporate lobbying, it is really tough. And I want to show you how tough that is. Would you explain about the Earn It Act that you and I help with and people work so hard to push, where it's getting so much pushback? I mean, I literally read an article about this, and I'm gonna have you introduce it here in a second, but I read an article where all these articles from these like free rights and freedom rights are saying this is such a horrible idea. Like literally, I read an article about the Earn It Act, and I should have you introduce it first, but the Earn It Act, and people are saying this Earn It Act that's trying to be shoved down our throat is trying to make it so tech companies have to be held accountable for showing the abuse imagery of children, of sexual abuse of children on their apps. This is a slippery slope. I'm reading these like my mind is exploding, saying we are now not just protecting tech companies from being able to earn the money they want to and create jobs, and yes, that's great stuff and make technology, but we're now so jaded with how obsessed we are with this tech. We're now people and groups that are funded by big company, by big people, are going out there and writing blog posts and articles saying that an act of a bill passing to keep kids safe, to protect them, to hold tech companies accountable from what they actually show kids on their app, sexual abuse of children, sexual exploitation, that is now called a slippery slope in our country. So walk us now back, because everyone's like, what is he talking about? Walk us about what this all was. You played a vital role in this. What was the Internet Act, and how did you have a role in this, and what was it all about?
Yeah. This is a section of the podcast that should like enrage parents, because this all started way back with a mutual friend of ours, Colin, Melissa, who had this seed of an idea that there are a couple of key places where big tech companies need to have greater accountability. So it started in the App Store, and you were on that very first group of allies that came alongside Melissa and I and the National Center on Sexual Exploitation to say, yes, we need to have greater accountability, greater transparency, greater accuracy with what's in the App Store, because it's all a bunch of templates and gibberish and doesn't really tell parents what's actually happening inside of these apps.
Yeah.
That was the seed of the idea that started back in December of 2018, which then led to putting together a movement. You were a part at the very beginning of that movement, the Fix App Ratings movement.
Yeah.
That led to state-level conversations with senators, with Senator Romney's office, with Senator Lee's office, and other legislators, say, listen, this is what we're thinking. This is low-hanging fruit. Let's talk about this. And this is spot on. This is great. That led to a Senate hearing in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee on July 9th, 2019, right in the middle of my family's summer vacation, but that did not matter, where Senator Graham and the Judiciary Committee pulled together a 5-panel set of witnesses, including myself from Protect Young Eyes, and we had a conversation about protecting childhood innocence online. And it was in that conversation that the seed of the idea of creating greater accountability, which, listen, is not that difficult. I'm convinced that in a 1-week time frame, both Google and Apple could fix 90% of the things that you and I can't stand about their tech. But that aside, that led to the drafting of what is now being called the Earn It Act. In other words, big tech, like everybody else, if you want immunity for the content that is being put inside of your applications, you must do certain best business practice things in order to earn that immunity. Now, stepping back for a minute, I'm a big fan of freedom. I love it, right?
Yay, freedom.
Big freedom, right? We're not about censoring what people put in there. But if I'm a technology organization that creates technologies that creates a fertile ground for horrible, horrific treatment of children, at some level, I should have some expectations for how I navigate those digital spaces. I can't be held accountable, like in the shoes of big tech. Don't hold me accountable for every little piece and post and picture and video that's in there. But I should have systems in place at a minimally acceptable level that do a minimally acceptable job of protecting children from some of the most horrific acts on earth. That's all we're asking. Everything else, all the other noise about that this is a way and a backdoor way to get rid of end-to-end encryption, all of that is all corporate spin.
Yeah.
None of that is true. If you actually read the act, none of that is true. This has absolutely nothing to do with end-to-end encryption. If you want to encrypt the conversations that go on end-to-end, great. All we're saying is you must have in place a few best business practices to do what? Protect children. Identify child sexual abuse material, CSAM, right?
Yeah.
Heaven forbid we ever become a nation that believes that both privacy and protection are mutually exclusive. Again, I live in a space where with trillion-dollar companies, we are smart enough to come up with solutions that provide that come up with solutions for both sides of those. Right?
Yes.
That's all earn it is. And all the rest of it is spin. All the rest of it is noise. All the rest of it is multi-million dollar lobbying engines that are trying to distract us from the point of earn it. The point of earn it at the highest level is to protect kids. That's it. The rest of it is noise. And because of that, the Senate Judiciary Committee, they passed this unanimously 22-0. And it's now sitting in front of the full Senate to get voted on there. In fact, I have a call about it at 2:30 this afternoon with a whole
awesome
group of allies to keep it moving. This is happening.
I'm praying every day that it does. I mean, you know, when we look at this, it is so overwhelming to think like this battle against these, this is literally David versus Goliath. And I just wish, like so many times people are like, oh, don't you wish you could just like take them all down? I would rather come at these tech companies with like an olive branch of peace and say, listen, we don't want to vilify you, even though you guys are, you know, you guys have created some amazing stuff, but a lot of stuff you're doing is really hurting kids. Like kids have literally died because of your technology. I mean, this is like lead toys, like on acid, some of this stuff. It has hurt so many kids and it will continue to hurt so many kids. But we, you know, why don't you find a way, right, to make this safer? Why don't you just find a way to maybe, you know, make the adult content only on the adult version of your app or something like that?
Absolutely.
And it's hard because like we see what an easy thing would be, but then when you do the numbers and you see like a company like Snapchat, it's like if they kicked everyone under 18 off their app, they go out of business. You know, and they know this. If you don't believe me, go look at what Instagram's done over the last couple of weeks with Reels. I mean, my Instagram Discover page, I don't know what happened. I haven't touched anything. I haven't liked a photo. I only follow two people. It's not like they have any new algorithm. The Instagram Discover page now is all like slightly pornographic stuff. I don't know what's happening here. Yeah. But I am grateful there are people out there like you and who are working on this. And Melissa, my gosh, for those who know Melissa, she's just a mom in Utah who's just got fed up. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to go pound some doors. And look what that was able to happen. So I do want to ask you a little bit about this new documentary coming out that you are part of that I think Bark put on. Is that right? It's called Childhood 2.0. I have the – hang on a second. Let me see if I can play this. I don't think you'll be able to hear it. But let me see if this, just listen to this, Chris.
A long time ago, families were in communities. They were local, they were small.
I was born in the very depth of the Great Depression. I was put to work, carrying wood, carrying water. I knew how to shell peas, I knew how to break beans. We still didn't have electricity.
I have two Instagram accounts.
I use Instagram, Snapchat.
Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok.
TikTok and Fortnite.
I can just scroll for hours on end.
11 hours a day.
It's been 8, 9.
Maybe like 12.
It's actually been a way that we can keep track of them out there in the real world where things really are scary.
The lives of kids were sort of changing slowly for a while. And then all of a sudden, most kids were able to get on social media and that's when everything skyrocketed.
The rates at which they're experiencing problems continues to increase.
We also know that the teen suicide rate increased 56%.
Last year alone, we received over 18 million reports of international and domestic online child sexual abuse.
We have. I'm going to fade that down. So that is the first part of the trailer of Childhood 2.0. And oh, there's Chris. Your face just popped up. This is going to be amazing. You sent this to me a couple days ago, and I still haven't watched the full documentary. Because I'm not mentally, I mean, I'm a guy like you who deals with this all day long. I'm constantly looking this stuff up. I'm constantly aware of what kids are going through and I still am not ready to see this, mentally. So I'm going to try and strengthen up my inner whatever. Talk to me a little bit about this. And they approached you to be in this. What is this all about?
Yeah, for sure. Bark is a big part of it. Double Edge Films are the ones who put it on. And I'm so pleased. I'm hopeful, Colin, that it will help parents have the courage and the encouragement that they need to make sometimes countercultural decisions for their kids. So this has been going on throughout most of 2020. There's been some filming that's been going on. I helped with that back in February. It released officially yesterday at 2 p.m. Eastern time. It was in theaters in Atlanta, and I believe it's also going to be in theaters in LA for a short period of time. So yeah, you can check the whole thing for free. You can check it out on their website, which is childhood2movie.com. And from there, you can click in to watch the trailer or the full movie for free on YouTube. And it was a joy. It's this weird mix of, you know, a crushing joy to kind of be a part of it, because when you see how they pieced it all together, I mean, they did unbelievable interviews with groups of teens, guys and girls separate, where they asked some just unbelievably detailed and intimate questions about pornography, about image, about the sending of nudes, and some of the pressures that they're feeling, really behind the curtains look at teen life, and families and advocates like myself, just a lot of us pouring in on all the topics that, you know, that families care about. So my big encouragement is this, as a family, it is explicit. Well, in the things it describes, it's fairly detailed. So as a family, you know, sit down and watch it as a mom and dad pair first, but then use it as a conversation starter for your kids. I don't think there's anything in it that, you know, my 15-year-old daughter, we'll sit down and we've already watched parts of it, because there's actual little cameos of my family and her in it. Oh, cool. She's like, oh my gosh, I'm in a movie. I'm like, yes, yes, you're in a movie.
Where's my IMDb credit? Yeah.
yeah, right? Exactly. And so that would be my encouragement. Use it as a conversation starter. Let us in the movie itself carry that kind of awkward burden of initiation. And then from there, there's conversation guides. If you go to the childhood2movie.com website, there is a download there that has conversation starters for each one of the sections. Find time this weekend. It's going to be one of the best hour and 28 minutes that you spend in terms of a tool in your parenting belt to have unbelievable conversations with your kids.
I imagine it's going to be a video where parents that have teenagers that are already grown are going to feel a lot of guilt and a lot of shame of, oh, that was my, you know, videos like this for parents whose kids were that first generation guinea pig for this technology. I feel so bad for them, because so many parents really didn't know what was happening. And like you said, at the very beginning, that gap between what kids were using their tech for and what parents thought their kids were doing on their tech was so far, and hopefully it is coming. And I'm so grateful for movies like this that are going to hopefully wake some people up. But for parents who have itty bitty kids or don't have kids yet, you got to watch this. I put on my Instagram the other day sharing like all the crap I'm seeing all over these apps that kids spend all day on, just horrific stuff on TikTok, stuff they're being exposed to, stuff that you and I, even people 10, 15 years ago, never were exposed to. Now it's just like a daily scroll for these kids. And I posted the comment. I said, can you imagine where, if this doesn't get reined in, can you imagine where we're going to be in 5 years? Can you imagine where we're going to be in 2 years? If things don't change, if new precedents aren't created. And so this is going to be really, really cool. I would love to see this, like every community go watch it. Every school watch it, you know, get it in the homes. That's so cool. They put this together and they just started filming this at the beginning of this year. I mean, they cranked this out in a couple months, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I did my, shoot with them back in February. And then, the Double Edge team has just been cranking away, traveling the country, getting these interviews. There's just some really, really sweet footage that I think people are going to enjoy. And, awesome. You know, Colin, for that parent, you know, my hope is that your work and my work does not leaving parents with a permanent feeling of despair. I think there's some despair that points us towards production and let's change things. What I don't want is this movie to leave those parents who maybe have a kid that has launched or has already been through with that moment of I failed. No, listen, there's always room for the story to be redeemed, right? I'm an example of that. A child who was exposed early to pornography that led to an adult addiction. I love it when our misery is redeemed for ministry or productivity or something positive in some way. Yeah. Sit down and have that authentic conversation with your 20-year-old and say, you know what? I didn't know. I love you. If I would have known, I wish something could have been different. Is there anything I can do now? Again, I tend to live in the space where it's never too late to have that raw, honest conversation and to start a few things fresh.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you this question. And it's a tough question, but I want to hear your thoughts because I've always wanted to chat with you more than just like through text. What is in your mind going to happen to an entire generation? We have an entire generation of kids because of this technology are being exposed. It's literally growing them up overnight. We're not just talking just about the pornography and how awful I'm in that one of the trailers for Childhood 2.0, I got through the whole thing and they were talking about just pornography statistics, how like 80% now of pornography has violence in it and has, you know, violence, hitting, slapping, gagging, choking. Like it is night and day different than the old Playboys from yesteryear. So the kids being exposed to this horrific stuff, being exposed not just to the horrific content out there, and all the content that just, you know, creates the comparison issues where, you know, young girls are already hating their bodies 8 and 9 or looking how to, you know, eating disorders starting younger, all these issues there. But then as well, kids being exposed to all the everything going on. I always think about how when we were kids, like we had no clue what was happening in the world. Really, I mean, we didn't really watch the news. I don't know, any of my friends did. We didn't know, you know, what was going on in different countries. We didn't know what was happening in our country. We weren't inundated 24/7 with, here's a constant reminder of how hopeless everything is in this situation with this world. You and I just spent half the day as kids this age, like going out to the backyard or the street corner, playing kick the can and like throwing dirt clods at those green electrical boxes, waiting for dad to blow the whistle or whatever, had come home for dinner.
Oh, that's great.
What do you think is going to happen to an entire generation of young people who are being forced to grow up overnight, being exposed to like a constant anxiety fueled stream of information into their minds at young ages?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is a big one. I obviously have a lot of passion towards both the education and, equipping parents around the topic of pornography, but I want to talk about something different. And that is, I believe that we are maybe only seeing the very, very beginnings of what is going to be an unsurvivable tidal wave of mental health constrain, or of strain and of just mental health issues in our current young people, right? And so I say this in my talks. You're going to see the documentary, you know, and I'll say it again here. And I, when I talk to teenagers, I know you talk to thousands times more than I do, Colin, but when I talk to teenagers, I look at them and I say, do you just kind of feel like every single minute of every single day we all live in just this low-grade state of anxiety? And they all look at me like, yes, every day. And it's sort of like when you have a water leak in your house, right? Water has really amazing purposes when it's constrained to very specific places in your house, like pipes and toilets and dishwashers and washing machines. But in every other context, water is extremely damaging and destructive in a house. And sometimes you don't even realize it. I've lived in a house with a deck that had not a great connection where the joist was against the side of the house. And for 10 years, there was this slow drip of water that was happening behind the siding and the walls of my house. We had to rip out this whole wall that was full of black mold from 10 years of drip. And what I feel like is going on today with this daily constant barrage of low-grade anxiety that is fed by a algorithm that feeds off of trauma. Every digital space that we live in today has an algorithm that favors trauma over positivity, because that's what trends. You can make trauma trend. If that's what kids are exposed to every single day, I feel like their lives are that drip that happened behind that wall in my house. Every day, every pull to refresh, every spin through my feed, every like, every comment, every search, all of those things are drips of water on their heart, on their mind, on their soul. And 10 years from now, they're going to be in a spot probably sooner than that, unfortunately. Fueled even now by a mini generation here that is going to be labeled kind of the pandemic generation. We're going to have this little segment of kids that was stuck in this moment of just multiplied chaos and multiplied disruption and multiplied isolation that, Colin, honestly, man, that is my fear. We do not have systems that can handle that type of influx of I think, mental health issue. We don't have parents that know how to have the right conversations around these sort of, you know, we're good at big, well, not even good all of the time, but we're good at identifying big trauma. But like, there is daily little trauma that I feel like is going on in the hearts and minds and souls of kids today.
Yeah.
And we're not good at identifying it. We're not good at stopping it. Big tech isn't good at stopping it. And so again, it's that corrosive drip that honestly, man, that's my biggest fear.
Yeah. As you're saying that, I just started thinking about how, like, when the pandemic hit, right? And the whole point of social distancing and quarantining and wearing masks and washing our hands 1,000 times a day and stocking up and all that stuff. The whole point of that was to flatten the curve so we did not overrun the underfunded and understaffed medical system of the hospitals that we have. They had a limited number of beds. They have limited number of help. There's a limited number of doctors and all that stuff. So we had as a country this huge wake-up moment where we said, for the first time for so many of us in our whole lives, I mean, the older generations have been through this maybe once or twice before, but this, for a lot of people, for like 200 million Americans, was the first time it was someone, you know, the government, people stepped and said, we have to do something very hard, very quickly. We have got to put on massive brakes. And if we do not do that, we are going to cause so many problems, and we're going to lose a lot of people. 180,000 people already dead from this. We are going to lose 10x that if we don't collectively sign the social contract and say, we see this as a problem. We've got to fix it. I think it's the same thing with this. My wife, in about 30 minutes, is doing her school interview to get into the master's program, to go back to school, to go get her degree so she can be a therapist. I'm so pumped about this. And she's so happy, and the send her some good vibes upstairs so she can crush her interview. We are not, like you said, like with COVID, as a country, as a world, we are not ready for this pandemic. We are not staffed with therapists. We are not staffed with knowledge. We are not staffed with resources and all that stuff. And if you look at it that way, if that does not make you want to get together as a society, as a tribe, as a neighborhood, as small as a family, and say, we have got to put on the brakes. Everything of how we've done things has to change, and not slowly, not like, hey, maybe wash your hands once a week, or, you know, maybe just don't cough that much. We had to do it fast. We had to do it hard. We had to put on the brakes all at once. And by doing so, yes, we had a lot of people die, but what could have happened? So I'm so grateful for this video. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for people out there and parents that are waking up to the pandemic. Just like with the pandemic with COVID, there's, you know, a third, a fourth of the half of the country that is, it's a hoax. Oh, it's not real, whatever. That's always going to be the case. But imagine if we could get 50% of the parents in this nation to wake up to this emotional, psychological, technological pandemic that is affecting our kids. Because again, think about what's going to happen. Like you said, I think there's going to be a whole nickname for this generation. I don't know if it's going to be called the Lost Generation or the Screen Kids. There is going to be a name for this. There are going to be photos in history books in 40, 50 years of just like 9-year-olds holding an iPhone and with everyone saying, what were they thinking? Like, what? How are they giving 10-year-olds smartphones with access to CNN and the internet and Twitter and Pornhub? Like, what were parents thinking? You know, like the old cigarette smoking photos of the old day. So hopefully things like that wake some people up. You have an app coming out, which is going to be awesome. Talk to us about what that is.
Yeah. So the Protect app, if you went to protectyoungeyes.com, you're going to see a couple of spots where you can add your name. Colin, we're about 2 weeks out. Right after Labor Day, we're going to launch the Protect app. And, awesome. You know, like you, you pivoted from presentations to podcasts. We're pivoting from, you know, full-time presentations to the Protect app because, you know, like you, we still have this intense passion for getting parents, you know, connected with helpful information. So what this is, this takes advantage of bite-sized content. We know we're all too busy. So imagine all of the complex internet safety and issues that are out there related to technology, all broken down into, I don't know, we're close to like 500 different 50-word bite-sized panels that you can swipe through 5 minutes a day, breaking it down, because this is how our brains work. So it's based on learning technology, or I mean, learning research around segmenting on how we learn best, especially in a busy world. So it breaks it down that way. You can take it one topic, one lesson, one panel at a time. There's an SOS section for, hey, if my kid has looked at pornography, what do I do first? If my kid has interacted with somebody online, what do I do? That SOS in the moment help. There's a faith-based component. If that's important to you, you can toggle on faith-based approach to lessons, whether you're Protestant or Catholic or whatever. And that's all in there too, been all edited. And one thing that I'm very excited about, because I lived overseas and I love Latin American culture and speak Spanish, is that all of the lessons will also be available in Spanish.
Oh, good. Because, oh my gosh. Thank you.
Dude, if you think, if it's hard as a native English speaker to figure out how to navigate the digital world, imagine being a first generation, arrival here, which has kids who are fully fluent in all of this, and you're trying to navigate that as a non-native speaker, man, it's impossible. I've lived in that world on the other side. And so we're really excited about all of these things. Again, just to level up, give parents whatever they need to eliminate that excuse of I didn't know where the best content was. And so like you said in the intro, what we love doing is we love taking complex digital problems, doing the research and breaking it down so that I'm just an average guy. I'm not a tech guy, like I've made very clear. But make it so that all of us can help our kids learn how to use technology well. So that's going to launch. People can download it for free in a couple of weeks. Check it out. And I hope it works.
That's so awesome. I got an email, like you probably do all the time. I got an email this morning from a mom. And it was one of those SOS. I'm sitting here crying. I didn't even realize this would happen. We've put all the locks down on my kids' devices and I wasn't paying attention. My son used his school Chromebook that he just got last week. And he came into me saying, Mom, I searched photos of naked people. And she's like, what do I do? And right now it's like, there's not a lot of place where I can say, it's really easy. Just go to this app and then say this and have this conversation. So I'm so grateful that's out there. We have been all kind of screaming fire for so long. And now to be able to offer, actual fire extinguishers to arm parents with, things like that, I'm so grateful you put that out. So go check out the app with Protect Young Eyes. This is my guest, Chris McKenna. You can check out their website, protectyoungeyes.com. Thank you so much. I'm going to play some music off to say goodbye. Thank you, Chris, for what you're doing. And for everyone out there, if you have any questions about anything, send us an email, heycolin@savethekids.us, because it's up to us to save the kids. Go home and give your kids an A second hug. We will see you next time. We'll be right back.